person's experiences.
Let me start.
Okay.
Well, when I was about 5, we moved from Lake Grove because my father thought that I would be better educated if I went to Portland rather than Lake Grove. However, I did graduate from Lake Grove Green School eventually. So we moved, we sold the house in Lake Grove, which was right across the street from the present church. And we bought a house in Irvington. And my sister and I really believed in Santa Claus. And nobody could tell us that there wasn't a Santa Claus. We were always put to bed early. And we slept in rooms upstairs across the hall from each other. And I always got kind of scared in the bedroom that I was. So there were a lot of trees on that side. And it raged in the wind. And I felt the shadows in the window. And so I always crawled out of my bed and got into my sister's bed across the hall. And every time I did that, my father and mother yelled at me and said, "Get back in bed, Marion." And so I found it again. But anyway, besides that, you could see Council Crest from her window. And that was really something, because we had been to Council Crest. And there was an amusement park up there. Anyway, when we got to bed, my mother and my father got the tree out, and they decorated the tree. And we had never seen it. We didn't even know there was one. And so when we got up Christmas morning, here was the tree, all decorated. And we knew that there was a Santa Claus because he had come during the night. And when I was 6 years old, because I chewed my fingernails when I was young, why, I was told that if I would stop biting my fingernails, I would get a bicycle. And lo and behold, I stopped biting my fingernails, and I got a bicycle.
Maybe you should identify yourself, and you don't have to speak if you don't want to. Just give your name. So, because we are taping this for future use. And to bribe you someday.
I probably had.
Your name is?
Bill Gillum, 83 County Southwest.
Give your name, rank, and serial number.
No, this is a hearing. every holiday in the Gillum house was celebrated roundly, and his wife, poor Charlie, was looking for some excuse to celebrate something. And I always said there had leftovers from the Roaring Twenties, and nobody ever told them it was all over. They just, they really lifted it up. Anyhow, instead of cookies and milk, why, for Santa Claus, looked like they're more likely to leave a bottle of B&B and a pot of coffee. And I think one Christmas I remember in particular is when it was the last time Dad used flash powder, you know, to take a, you know, get everybody all, my brother and me all set in front of the tree, you know, and then turn out the lights and open the shutter on the camera and get the flash powder, fill the whole room with smoke. But the picture actually came out real good. That particular Christmas was when I knew that we were at home. We usually went up on the Song Country to celebrate with cousins and all that. But that particular Christmas, I was 5, and my older brother was 10, so it was kind of a riot. That was when he got a bicycle and a BB gun, after breakfast, by the folks, they were going to try and, Lil and Brian, could figure out how accurate this BB gun was or whether it was worth a darn. So I remember them sat down on the Davenport, kicked their feet up on the coffee table, and proceeded to shoot all the ornaments off the tree. They said, "Well, what the heck, we need new ones anyhow." And my mother said, "Let me see that thing, Brian. I want to see how accurate it is." But all holidays were celebrated roundly. The only thing that rivaled it, of course, was the 4th of July, and I think my dad invested in them. But weapons of mass destruction. Well, most of Christendom nowadays at Fourth is so quiet, it's almost ghostly, you know, I can't believe it. I didn't understand my parents till many years later why they were the way they were, but it came about very naturally. I'll go into that some other time. It has to do with the, probably with prohibition and a lot of other things.
Yeah, no, you only get one story.
Oh, man.
Are you about to? Okay, who's next?
Your request would make us say, I don't know how many of you celebrated the Feast of St. Nicholas. Now, we did. And now, I don't remember this part, but my sister, and the Feast of St. Nicholas is December the 5th or 6th, I don't know. My sisters told me that my uncle, who lived next door, that evening, my mother would leave the dining room window open, and he would come and he'd throw a huge bag of peanuts in the house. And then they ate the kids. Now, I was little then, 2 and 3, so I don't remember that they told me. So they had a ball going around picking up all the peanuts. They were in a shell. But then we set that evening before we went to bed, we would put our little soup bowls out. We didn't have stockings. And put a soup bowl out by the fireplace. And then the next morning we would get up and there would be like candy and candy bars and just a little toy. And I think the orange that everybody got. And that's how we celebrated St. Nicholas. And when my son had a daughter, I was at their home around that time and I asked Shannon, I said, what did St. Nicholas give you? And my son just went, no, no, no. And he says, we don't speak of St. Nicholas. We don't have it. In school, they don't celebrate it down here in Memphis. So he lived in Memphis. Now, I came from Cincinnati, a German town, and I think that was a tradition, a German tradition, St. Nicholas.
Probably have to move back further away from the speakers.
Yeah. My name is Alberta Schmidt.
Okay. I'm Margie Larson. Maybe I'll skip this. I'm Edie Schwartzen. I grew up in a home with two older brothers and a younger sister, and the older brothers had a lot of fun having Santa Claus, and he came at different times, different years. It would be in the middle of the afternoon on Christmas Eve day or something like that. But one year, we were snowed in. You can't believe it, but the snow was so we couldn't go. And I remember my dad putting on my mother's crochet jacket, everything, and bundling all up and taking off and walking down to, I lived on Buteville Road. And he went down, I learned later, and walked across the trestle and got the Christmas things that his brother who lived in Portland had put on the Orton Electric. And my dad had gone and walked across the trestle, came back, and then that big hop sack ended up on the front porch. I should have recognized the hop sack. That should have given it away.
Well, I'm Lawrence Martinazzi, and I grew up in Portland, of course, and Christmas around our family was no big deal because we were kind of poor, and we would, Mom would usually get us either a book or a little toy, and she usually made us each a Christmas dress, I had 4 sisters. And that was not all there was to Christmas, although she cooked a turkey and, you know, she picked the feathers and drew it and all that stuff, singed it, pulled the pin feathers out, so, and cooking at a big Christmas dinner is a lot different than it is now. But the two things that I remember was that we would always have a program at the church and a program at the school. And these were the big things about Christmas in my life, because like I said, Christmas at home was no big deal. Although Daddy did always get us a bucket of candy, hard candy from Montgomery Ward. It with a, like a milk bucket, and he had three divisions in it, so three kinds of hard candy. But the church program was really a big thing to me, and was a lot of singing. I can remember I was about 5 years old when I sang a little solo, looking up at the star or whatever, and that was a big thing to me. And then at the school programs, there was a Santa Claus, and dressed in a Santa Claus suit, and he would give a little bag of hard candy and nuts and an orange. And so that was Christmas that I enjoyed.
I'm Norm Parker. Excuse me. I was born up in British Columbia, north central British Columbia, near west of Prince George, if any of you know where that is. So we had the old-fashioned Christmas because we never had a vehicle except a team of horses and a sleigh in the wintertime. So if it was, and the nearest neighbor was about 3 or 4 miles away. So normally we would get together with another family at Christmas. And I can remember one time my mother used to heat rocks up and put them in gunny sacks and then put them in the wagon so that when we, and you know, with a horse, it, 3 miles away, it would take about an hour to get to the nearest neighbor. So that's the way we heated up our vehicle. And I had five aunts, so they sent us presents. And we never had any fresh fruit. We had dried fruit, so they would always send us apples and oranges. And I still remember that. And from down here, they all lived in Oregon. So. But we had a great time, and we didn't know any better. But also, my dad never got a Christmas tree until the day before Christmas. And now I know why, because the house is so little, there were four of us in that little cabin, that of course we didn't have space. So that's why we didn't get a Christmas tree early. And then we made our own decorations, of course. So.
Hi, I'm Adrienne Dickman, and I grew up in Seattle, next to the last of my mother's family. And we never saw the Christmas tree until Christmas morning. Years later, I learned that Mother and Dad went out on Christmas evening, and the lots were pretty much closed, and then the top owner bought all the things and donated the tree to the family. This particular Christmas, about 5 or 6, and we had gotten a, my little sister and I had gotten a cat for Christmas. We'd gotten it 2 days before, and that was a really special thing to have happen. So we were there Christmas morning, and all of a sudden, the cat escaped our laps and hands and went up the tree. And the tree came down with the cat, and many ornaments were broken, and the cat found a new home. And we didn't have much in the way of presents. We made something for each of our siblings. Mother made one thing for each of us. But I remember most of the little children with a big basket of fresh oranges, great big oranges that we got from Uncle Al, and that was a Christmas tree.
Speak right into it. You don't have to talk, remember, but speak right in.
Hazel Mason, I'll speak for him also, because the highlight of our Christmas is the fact that we were married on Christmas Eve, 60 years ago this year, and our first daughter was born on Christmas Day, and she loved to say to people, Mommy and Daddy were married on Christmas Eve, and I was born on Christmas Day. And I used to kick her to say, 3 years later. But as a kid, I lived in Toledo, which was a small town. And the first time that he visited me there, I think I hadn't thought of it before, but he said, is there anyone in this town you're not related to? And I don't think there were many. We had a great time in that town, all being related. So when we had holidays, my dad was a party man. And while there were 20, 30 people at the table, part relatives, part friends, it was a great place to grow up. My dad could never keep a secret, and I know that we would hear baby dolls crying when he'd be behind the door, and hint what was behind there and that sort of thing. It was a fun place to grow up and a fun place to live. My grandmother died on Christmas Eve, I remember that. And the thing I remember most of that is that we were all at the same house, at my aunt's house, and feeling very blue. And the church came by and sang carols and serenaded the house with carols. And I don't know why, but it just perked everybody up, and we just felt really, really good that the people thought about us. But it was a great place, great time.
I'm Margaret Bowles. As you all know, I was born in England. And to celebrate Christmas, my mom would make all her own mincemeat, Christmas puddings, Christmas cakes. We never had turkey for Christmas dinner. We always had rabbit. We raised rabbits and we had one for Christmas dinner. Christmas morning, Christmas Eve, we would put pillowcases on the end of the bed. We never had stockings. It didn't really get very full though. An orange and an apple, a new penny, and probably one toy that we wished for by looking in the newsagent's window and picking out something that we hoped that we would get for Christmas Day. My brother, youngest brother, was born Christmas Day, four years before I was. So we always had a birthday party for him Christmas afternoon. We got to use the front room that we couldn't use any other day of the week. We used it Sundays and had a party Christmas Eve. And we always had a good time Christmas Day.
My name is Pryor, and until someone else mentioned St. Nicholas Day, I had totally forgotten about that, but we did. That was when we hung our stockings. Anyway, the socks we wore that we hung. We didn't have a fireplace, and I can't remember where we hung them. But that was when we got an orange and just a few candies and things in the stocking. I don't remember an awful lot about Christmas when I was a kid, except that about every second year we'd get a pair of ice skates. I was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And of course it was cold and snowy on Christmas time. And the thing to do on Christmas afternoon was to go ice skating with all your friends. The outdoor ponds froze over and they weren't always with spoons like on Indians, but that's where we skated. And other than that, the dog was very happy that we brought a tree inside for him.
Maybe it is Christmas.
We didn't have to run out and get cold in the snow. Except he got pushed out an awful lot. These days Christmas is a little louder because we've got 9 grandchildren and they're usually there with our 4 kids and their spouses and all the kids, and we have a small house, so it gets very busy in there. But it's fun.
I'm Stan Perez. I'll be describing Christmas in London before the war. That's the Second World War, not the World War. We had a house that must have been all the size of this room, and our living room or sitting room was only used just about at Christmas. So that was the one day of the year when I could bring my expensive toys out that I was never allowed to play with any other day of the year in case I lost any parts to them. And we had chicken rather than turkey, and even chicken then was a luxury. Christmas pudding, all the things that you read about in English recipe books. And then we would go to my grandma's house for dinner, and she was the only grandparent left alive. And fortunately for me, I was the only grandchild at that time, so I got presents from all the other members of the family, and
in those days, because I believed in Santa Claus, I kept hearing this from my mother, aren't you going to thank Aunt so-and-so for telling Santa that you wanted that? But anyway, it was the high point of the year for me anyway. I got enough to eat that day.
Hi, I'm John Bowles, and my Christmas was very much like Margaret's. We didn't have any turkeys or chickens. That'd be rich to have chickens. We got rabbit. But the thing I remember most, we got the same as Margaret. Pillowcases with your favourite little toy, like a little game or something like that, and a box of lead soldiers. But the thing I remember most about the rabbit is that one year they killed my pet rabbit and ate him for Christmas dinner. And I never liked rabbit after that. So that was that's what I remember about Christmas. We didn't have any Christmas trees either. We got had a little stocking hanging up that you had with an orange and apple and a brand new penny. Always got one of those. That was my Christmas.
Well, I'm Diane Berry, and I grew up in Montana. So we always went out to get our own Christmas trees. You know, it was safe to go out in the national park and cut down a tree. But it was always the biggest hassle of the year, too, because Mother liked the one way on the top of the hill. And Dad said, well, how about this one right here by the car? That looks pretty good to me. And my sister and I would be out throwing snowballs at each other. But usually we would find a tree that most everybody was happy with, bring it back, and it was decorated and in the house at all times. We too like, and apparently it must be just an international tradition to have the orange in the stocking. But there were no oranges in Montana, but I always had an orange in the 12-month stocking too. And Christmas Eve church service was always a big thing. And the church was only about a block and a half away from my house. And sometimes it would snow in Montana, and sometimes it wouldn't be snowing by Christmas time. But on Christmas Eve, as we would come out of the church from church service, it was always snowing lightly. And it was just like a Courier and Ives picture. And it was always just beautiful to walk home in the snowflakes.
I'm Ellen Clore, and I guess I'm the only one. I have a Scandinavian background. And it's interesting because I sit there and play and think back. I don't remember Christmas at home other than my grandparents coming to arrive. I can remember Christmas Eve. We'd always go over to my dad's, actually they were foster parents, they were the lady and her daughter that took care of him after his parents died when he was quite young. But we'd go over there for Christmas Eve for dinner, Lutefisk, and they would fix it the traditional way, starting with a hard, solid piece of fish, and so the wine, you do all of the things that you do. I can always remember the silver spoons being tarnished by the time we got through with it. So we'd have lutefisk, and probably, as Mary would say, boiled potatoes with white gravy and peas. It was such a bland dinner, because he got introduced to it after we got married. And usually for dinner, we'd have panna cotta, which kind of like a Dutch baby, and rice pudding, and of course spritz, and lots of coffee, and we'd go in and open up our presents. So Santa Claus, for me, would come to her house, because my dad's sister's presents would always arrive over there, and then we'd have two or three, just a few things there. And we'd go home, of course, the next morning, have family stuff, then if my grandparents came. So Christmas just kind of went on and on and on. But a lot of these things we've tried to continue with our kids. They were quite small while this relative was still alive. So Christmas Eve, of course, it actually got away from being the Lutefisk because she was getting more elderly and didn't really want to take the time to fix it. So we still would go over there for Christmas Eve. Then we would leave and after we would get back for 11 o'clock church service. And I mean, my kids grew up going to church at 11 o'clock Christmas Eve, and until they had kids of their own, that was when we would go to church. I mean, that was just tradition. It didn't matter what was going on leading up to that 11 o'clock service. And of course now it's kind of changed because we're going to their house for Christmas. And so it's been a while, but so we're starting new traditions.
Patricia Saab, one of my fondest memories is Dad fixing the Christmas tree. And that meant he got out his drill. And he always had kind of a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It must have been like the discount version because we were pretty poor too. And so he would bring some boughs home and he would figure out, he would drill into the trunk of the tree and set the branches in. It usually looked okay for about a week. And then it got pretty brown. But we all, there were four of us kids. I was the oldest. And we all wanted to help decorate the tree. So Mom and Dad didn't get to do that stuff by themselves. They always had a lot of help and supervisors and commenters on what was going on. So that was kind of a fun part. And we, if you remember with my friends, there was a big controversy over whether you opened your presents Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. And we were staunchly for Christmas morning. But we did have a lot of friends that opened Christmas Eve, and we just didn't think that was right.
I'm Wally Nelson. I grew up in eastern Nebraska, and most Christmases we had snow on the ground. Sometimes we had Christmas tree at our home. And some years we went to my mother's parents' home, which was on the farm. And I remember one Christmas, my uncle and aunt, my dad's sister and her husband and their children came to my grandparents on the farm. And they lived several miles away, and they came by bobsled with a team of horses pulling them. And I went home with them after we had Christmas at my grandparents, and it was in the evening, I suppose. It must have been somewhere around 7 or 8 o'clock. It was dark, and the bells on the horses would jingle, and I went and stayed with them for a couple of days after Christmas then. And my next younger brother was born on the 28th of December. So we always celebrated his birthday along with Christmas at that time. It wasn't a separate celebration. And to this day, that's much the way his birthday is celebrated. He lives in Venezuela, and he and his family go to Colorado and celebrate his birthday and Christmas there.
I'm Jack Howard. I grew up near Kalispell, and we always had snow. And I remember as a boy going up Christmas morning looking for tracks of snow. I was too much of a literalist to think about a flying Santa Claus. I think at least one gave me a contract because there were still some people around who had cutters.
Larry McClure, I'll just mention one incident since Bill started with the BB guns. Do you all remember the movie called The Christmas Story? Came out about 20 years ago, maybe. And there's one scene in there that described what happened to me. There was one thing I really wanted that year, and that was that Red Ryder BB gun. And of course, I got the lecture while Mom was getting the dinner ready after opening that morning that be careful, you could put your eye out of that thing. And just like the movie, right? You remember that scene? So I went out, though, in the meantime, and set up my target on the concrete steps of our front porch. And I get back there, and I aim just right, fire, and wham! It ricocheted back right in my cheap or something. So every time I think of that movie or see it, I just remember that scene so well, how the BB gun incident went. But the other big thing, I was a Southern boy. Like Ellie said, she grew up in a Scandinavian family where the only seasoning they ever heard of was butter. And I'm a Tennessee boy, and everything there is hog fat. But they're well known for high cholesterol food in that part of the world. And my favorite food to this day, my mom would always make it, because her mom had always made it, was a fresh coconut cake. And that, you had to dip the coconut and pound, I remember pounding the holes in the eyes, draining out the liquid, cracking the coconut, helping grate the coconut. The liquid was real special, that had to be used later. And boiling, the cut the icing, remember boiled icing that you wanted? And then there's another Tennessee tradition called boiled custard, which was you actually drank it like a real heavy milkshake. But anyway, that's what you poured over your fresh coconut cake at Christmas. It was wonderful. Okay, now, as Marion tells this story, don't you want to share something about that, your Christmases?
You know, well, I grew up in Montana.
Come here. Are you trying to keep us from having germs or something?
Is my mother, my mother and some of the ladies exchanged her specialty, and my mother did the salted nuts. And I can remember those nuts in the oven for 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas. One lady made the candy, one seal, one lady made the German stollen, is that how you pronounce it? And, I forgot what the other ladies made. And then I stuffed dates for some of the nuts. And I remember them all exchanging that sort of thing. That was a good thing to know that we were part of the neighborhood.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Don't run away.
Yeah, we want to come back again to some folks now that may have some ideas of the things that they want to share. So, Marge, have you got something?
Not really. I remember my stepfather and I would go over to Eagles and get our Christmas tree every year. And then afterwards, they got to thinking, we were really stealing in a tree. Every year we got it over, he never said anything. That was terrible. Exactly.
Okay, now some others that we overlooked here, I want to, this time, Bill, you're going to get another chance because I heard you have a lot of stories, right? You have some more? But let's go over here to Stan.
Yeah, the reason we had chicken at Christmas was we used to raise our own, and that would be our Christmas present to other families, well, you know, other parts of our own family. And my parents always denied that this ever happened, but I was in charge of killing the chickens, and I was too weak to bring their necks properly. So I used to get a box upside down, put the chicken's head up in the box, stand on the box and pull on the feet. Very effective.
Okay. Bill, have you got another one? I'll come over there if you've got another one. Yeah. In the meantime, Mary, are you thinking about how we're going to do this part?
Well, I thought everybody after they spoke could come up and get a gift, and we are going to exchange because it takes a long time to do that, so you have to keep what you get. Whatever. I want to say I killed a chicken though. We had chickens in our yard, and we had a chicken house, and I thought I could do it. And we had a chopping block, so I put the chicken very carefully on the chicken, on the chop that you want, the head hanging over. Use the axe, and didn't complete the job. And if you've ever seen a chicken half chopped,
yeah.
Why, it runs all over the yard, spattering mud all over everything. And that's the only time I ever killed a chicken, or tried to.
Okay, John.
This is a funny story that I heard, or I read in the newspaper, about President Bush visiting the Buckingham Palace, and they had three helicopters, and they were landing on the palace lawn and made a big mess of it. Another ran all the flowers down. So the Queen quite obviously really complained about that. I didn't like the idea of having all my flowers must be there. And Saddam Hussein said, "You should be so lucky. Look what he did to my palace."
Okay, we're going to keep going on this, but I want to start a process here to sort of intermingle some business as we have planned to. Next Saturday, the 13th of December, we're going to set up a table at Hagen's and sell some of our
a little bit, and I suppose it wasn't until I got a little older and I began to wonder about these very impulsive people. I think they saw too many Carol Lombard and Clark Gable movies, and they would just do everything on the spur of the moment, and they were very fortunate. My dad had a very stable job, so during the Depression they were very fortunate. They could do pretty much as they pleased, and they did. I think when I got a little older, I began to wonder, where did these people come from? You know, and to understand probably some of your Christmas procedures, you have to really understand your parents and their parents. They grew up in Seattle. We spent most of our Christmases up there. They'd take a week. You'd usually spend with one grandbrother in Seattle, and then we'd go down to the old curio shop in Seattle. They let us boys buy a bunch of stuff there, and then we'd go over to my grandmother's place on Port Orchard Sound. My parents, I suppose all the holidays they had certain things that they did, and that I kind of took for granted, and I began to wonder about later, and then I begin to understand. But for instance, on Halloween, since our name was Gillam, and they didn't know what the connection was with Southeast Gillam Avenue, but they always felt that it was part of their birthright to go steal a Gillam Avenue street sign and bring it home. And I still got them all over, a number of them around the place, and that sort of thing. Like you say, the 4th of July was an incredible free fire zone on Alameda Street. And you could buy real rockets in those days. One peculiar thing that seemed to be an ordinary ritual was in the spring, my dad always bought a skimmer, a straw hat. That was a skimmer, you know what they call a skimmer. That's when summer officially started, and the day that summer was officially over, they'd be driving along, and my mother she always hated those hats, but she put up with them most of the summer. But the official end of summer was when she reached over and picked it off of his head, stuck her foot through it, and threw it out the window of the car, and he would drive on like nothing had transpired at all. It was just the That was the rites of summer were over. Anyhow, it was great fun.
Didn't you remember fireworks at another time of the year too? Was it New Year's, right? New Year's, okay.
Guy Fawkes Day.
Guy Fawkes Day. November the 5th. Okay, Margaret.
Oh, we didn't have a Christmas tree until we, I don't think I ever saw a Christmas tree until I was probably 14 years old. My mom used to have wooden hoops, and she would wrap them up in colored paper and put two hoops inside one another, and then hang the ornaments on those and hang those from the ceiling. And always we have the little bunch of mistletoe hanging as soon as you come in the door, so you got caught when you wanted to be kissed or not.
I remember in Tennessee the mistletoe grew in the big oak trees really abundantly. I don't know about out here.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Who else has a story?
My son lived in on the island of Malta, that's over in the Mediterranean, very small island. He married a Maltese girl. And actually, their Christmas trees were always artificial. There's no such, you could go around and count the number of trees on that island. So the first Christmas that they spent at our house here, my granddaughter, Ben, she was about 7 or 8, and one morning, you know, she was in the living room and I came with some water. And she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watering the tree." And she looked and she said, "Is that a live tree? Is it really?" I said, "Yes." And she was amazed. And then we celebrated for it, you know, our Christmas on Christmas Eve. And my husband took her away, you know, for a while in the afternoon and everything. And then when she came back, all the toys and all that was there. And later on, a couple of years later, I was over there for Christmas. And I says, "Well, are you going to celebrate the Maltese way or the American way?" "Oh," she said, "since we were to the States," she said, "we celebrate the American way." They still had their tree, but over there, there was no such thing as Christmas Eve or Christmas where you get presents from Father Christmas. But they just gave gifts throughout the whole month of December to their friends, wherever they like, they buy something. And even in school, she says, "We just exchange gifts all during December." But she liked the American way the best.
Would you guys tell us horrible?
Yes, we all had.
Can you imagine
a baby
and
a kid in orange?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
this is $25. Throw it away in disgust. I remember our kids hated their clothing. Grandma always sent socks.
Yeah.
I was lucky to get hand-me-downs, which I really wanted for my cousins.
Yeah.
They were pretty good. Okay, any more stories? Any more stories?
My husband worked for a company that had a Christmas party the day, Christmas Eve day. And they didn't do that anymore. They had drinks.
Yeah.
And my husband came home and he said, "I didn't drink anything. They had smoked oysters and I'd never had those before and I ate a lot of them." We didn't have a car. Somebody left him off. And we were supposed to leave right away and come down to Aurora to my sister's. And he was in the bathroom And I, the time I said, I'm going, he said, okay. But we had baby then, too. I was carrying the baby at all the Christmas gifts and things. And I said, okay, I'm going up to the bus, and you come whenever you get better. And I went up and stood on the corner with my baby, the bags, the Christmas gifts. I waited and waited, and no bus came. So I went back down to the house. It was just about a block away. Oh, I forgot to say the funny part. When I went, said, I'm leaving, he said, go ahead and leave me here to die. So I came back down to see if he died. And he says, well, I think I'm ready to go. So we went up to the corner, and a neighbor saw us, and he said, no bus is going to come. And he took us down to Greyhound bus depot. And we got down to my sister's about 2 hours late. But they don't have, they didn't have Christmas parties like that anymore.
No, they don't do that anymore.
Okay, we have time for a couple more. Some of you thought of something different or more. Favorite foods, how do we keep these traditions going down further through our generations? Are your kids creating new traditions that are going to be just as fun and good as what you all remember?
I just want to say one thing. And that is that when I went to the church programs, it was the little old church that we're trying to save right now. And we all set our little parts. All the kids in the community went there.
When you had rabbit instead of turkey, you had corndog sticks. And some of them, I realized turkey is kind of an American thing.
How much was a new penny really worth in those days?
You could buy four farthing bars for it, I think. Yeah. They were little candies about this big.
Yeah. Nugget.
Yeah. Oh, four of those. Because, you know, I used to spend, we used to get a, for spending money, we got halfpenny. That's a half of a penny. And I used to go down to the store and get two farthing bars for that.
Yeah, I got a halfpenny once. It started out as a penny, and then all the way home, I was rubbing it against the stone. Anyway, one thing I wanted to say, talking about the old church, if any of you feel inclined to send a letter to the editor of the Times saying that it's really important to you and what your experience has been in that church, by all means do so. You know, a little bit more pressure on the council might swing things for us.
That's right. We're going to talk about this more. And where's Marion? Is she?
Well, she thinks one of her packages is okay. Ready, so she's looking for
it. All right. So what we're going to do, we have enough packages here, I know, because I've just done a quick count. So one at a time, I think you ought to come up since everybody's enjoyed this today, right? Was this sort of an interesting way to do a program? A little different from the past? Well, be sure to tell Mary that was her idea. So, Edie, why don't you start? Come up here and pick one. Oh, no, pick somebody else. You don't have to pick your own. You know what you brought.
Yeah, I'll just take the one closest.
And if you didn't bring one, we brought them. We brought extras just for those because we didn't get this word out to you, right? So this is a new thing. And so some people have worked very hard to do that. Lois, just keep coming. I thought if we just turned it loose all at once, it'd be a madhouse up here, just like Walmart.